Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are here every week to talk about different subjects that we think are important and educational and interesting and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And very often we talk about economics, we talk about the quality of life here in Western New York, we talk about different events that are happening, community events and affairs. We, of course, concentrate a lot on law and order when we can, it being one of my favorite subjects, and the theater and arts. But above all else, you know that saying is, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. I think I made that saying up. Did I? No, there's a saying like that, right? I'm asking my guests. You'll know why in a minute. So assuming we care most about our health, which we all do, I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about a subject regarding our health that we have actually discussed several times in the studio in On Target over the years. Because once in a while we were concentrating on, February was heart month, and I sort of let that go by the month. But we do know that the heart and heart disease is one of our most serious health problems here in this country. And luckily for you, our listeners here, our loyal listeners, let me say, and On Target, we know a very, very wonderful educated, prolific, good talker, I don't know how to say that, person who we have spoken to before on the subject of heart health. And she's been on Target with us before because she's a friend of mine, so I have a little influence to get her here, even though she's busy as you can imagine, busy as can be. But she is so kind and good that she has come to On Target several times to educate our listeners about various questions that they may have and about various issues regarding heart health and heart disease. So let me introduce to you Dr. Joanne Cobbler, who I think hopefully is a familiar name to you if you have been listening to our show over the years. And Dr. Cobbler is a well-known cardiologist. She is with the Buffalo Medical Group here in Western New York, and she's a past president of the American Heart Association. And she is the most marvelous dancer and singer. Was I allowed to say that? I don't think that it has much to do with her practice, but in her spare time, if you ever have a chance to see her performing, you're still doing dancing somewhere, right? I know you're with the Divas.
I don't do it as much. I'm up with the Divas. I was with the Icona Ballroom Center for the dancing.
And so what a shock to find this professional person, in professional health person, being such a professional singer and dancer. I could never get over that. I guess all your patients, if they find out, they're the same way, right? They're
yes.
Saying, is that you on the stage, doctor?
Yes.
Is that my doctor? So I wanted to start out by saying, which I think is true, that heart disease is one of the most prevalent or widespread diseases that people suffer from in the whole country?
Yes. It's the leading cause of death in both men and women. For women, one in three women will die from heart disease. And the thing about heart disease is that it's preventable. So we really need to educate ourselves. We need to know our risk factors. We need to know symptoms. And we can prevent the death from heart disease.
But it's such a, I think, surprise when you say that, because when you pointed out that it's the number one killer for women, most people, if they're listening, women, I think, have the idea that breast cancer Don't you? I mean,
they do. Most women think it's breast cancer. Yeah. And actually, 1 in 29 women will die from breast cancer, or 1 in 3 women will die from heart disease. In the past, heart disease was felt to be a disease of men and not women. All the studies would exclude women. They just felt that women didn't have it. And I think with the efforts really getting out to the community with the Heart Association, really teaching both women and doctors that it is the leading cause of death in them, it's really made a difference.
Yeah, I do too. Even when we first started talking about it, when we first met a really long time ago, I think I said to you, and I'm repeating, I never even knew a single woman. Like, by then I was thinking of like even my mother's friends, which at that point, which would be, you know, a whole other generation, and in my generation too, I had never known anyone that died, let me say, of heart disease, although I knew many people and women who died of breast cancer. So I think that was a misconception that you, the medical community, has done a lot to alleviate. Let's talk about, you said, I think one of the most important aspects is knowing the signs. What are some of the signs that you should look for, that a person should look for, and we really have to differentiate, I found out, between men and women in this regard.
Yes, yes. Typical signs would be some discomfort in your chest, more like a pressure sensation or a tightness when you exert yourself. You might be short of breath when you exert yourself. Could it radiate into the jaw? You might have some discomfort in your jaw. Every time you do something, it could go into your back or into your arm. Also, for women especially, it's extreme fatigue, much more tired than usual. That's very specific to women. So we really have to pay attention. A lot of times we just think, oh, we're just doing too much and we're so busy. But if it's extreme fatigue, that would be a very important sign for women. You could feel nausea when you do things, sometimes just sweating when you exert yourself. Those are symptoms which could be the heart as well. And just noticing if you have a certain level of activity that you do, like you always do a certain exercise, if you notice that you can't do as much as you did before, that's a sign that something is wrong. You don't ever assume, oh, I'm just getting older, I can't do as much. That's not true. If you can't do as much, there's something going on that's causing it.
I think what we're saying and what you've taught me before is that they present themselves, they may present themselves differently, men and women, the symptoms may present themselves like the ones that we typically think of is for some, you mentioned pain in your arm, remember
right.
that? Everyone
yes.
would always say if it's pain on your left side in your arm, but it ain't necessarily so, as the saying goes, especially with women.
Right. It could be, again, any pain that you might, could be in your neck, that you, typical things, if you notice it every time you exert yourself, that's something that's really a key, that's could be due to blockages in the arteries. And also when I'm taking care of women, I kind of widen my net. Any symptoms, you know, I look for more symptoms that may not sound real typical, but I really question women. Is it occurring when you exert yourself? What you're able to do? Are you really feeling excessively fatigued? So we need to be much broader in what we're thinking of when we're talking to women and trying to diagnose it.
Now, I want to ask you, I know my listeners would ask if they were here, what is the difference between a heart attack and heart disease? It's synonymous yes. in the layman's non-medical mind, but I know that there is a difference between
right.
the two phrases.
I think when we think of heart disease, maybe it's a very broad category. Maybe cardiovascular disease would be the other name for it. We would think of coronary artery disease would be blockages in the arteries of the heart. We may have some plaque buildup in the arteries. It might not be causing symptoms. When you have a heart attack, that plaque will rupture, and then the LDL cholesterol, the liquid core, will leak out, and then you get a blood clot. A clot will form there and cut off the supply to the rest of the heart. And that's why the symptoms are much more severe when you have a heart attack, and it actually kills the cells of the heart where you're not getting enough blood supply. So a heart attack would be the end result. If you were left untreated, you could have coronary artery disease, maybe have 30-40% blockages. You have other blockages in the arteries that don't cause symptoms, but that still needs to be treated very aggressively. You need to get the cholesterol down, exercise, diet, keep the blood pressure under control to prevent the plaque from rupturing, and we can cause it to reverse by getting your LDL below 70. So in general, that would be more considered cardiovascular disease. It could also go into your brain. It was in the arteries. You might have blockage in the arteries of the brain or in your legs. When you talk about a heart attack, it's the end result of that blockage rupturing and then cutting off the supply to the heart.
You think we know what you're talking about when you said that get the LDL below something, but we don't.
Now, your cholesterol, it has three components. It has the LDL, which is the lousy or bad cholesterol.
Oh, okay. I bet that's not a medical term. I bet the lousy
isn't, but no. People can remember it that way. And then the HDL is the good cholesterol. You call it the happy cholesterol. And then the total cholesterol. The total cholesterol really doesn't mean much because, I mean, the total, you really want to look at your LDL. For most people, we want it below 100. If you have risk factors, if you have coronary artery disease or diabetes, it should be below 70. If we look at your HDL, for a woman's HDL, we want it above 50. For men, it should be above 40. For women who have a low HDL, if it's below 50, that's a very significant risk factor that they will develop heart disease in the future. They will develop blockages in the arteries of the heart.
So how would one know? You would have to go to a doctor and have a test to see.
Yes, you want a fasting lipid profile. So you want to get the lipid profile, it's called, and it's done fasting for 12 hours and no alcohol for 48 hours. If you have alcohol prior to it being drawn, the triglyceride levels, which we draw with it, will be high. And then they do some of the calculations, which we do, will be off because it'll interfere with it.
Now, we want to take a step back so we can be affirmative and helpful as well to our listeners by saying what, when you said if you have a high risk factor, you mentioned that before.
Yes.
But we need to let everyone know what are the risk factors that cause or maybe some of the causes of heart disease.
Well, we look at high blood pressure. So we want your blood pressure to be close to or lower than 120 over 80. We look at high cholesterol. We just talked about that. We're looking at the lipid profile, looking at your LDL cholesterol, we want that lower. Your HDL cholesterol, we want that higher. Smoking is a big risk factor. Family history. If you have a female relative who had a heart attack or a stroke or have coronary artery disease before the age of 65, that's very significant. If it's a male relative, it's below the age of 55, because women tend to develop heart disease later. So that's very significant as the family history. Diabetes is a very strong risk factor, especially in women. A woman diabetic has 7 to 8 times the risk of developing heart disease than a woman without diabetes. That's about the highest risk patient we have, and we actually consider a diabetic, we consider to be actually an equivalent to coronary artery disease, because diabetics either they have disease and don't know it, or they will develop it. So we have to treat them as if they do have it. We treat them very aggressively for their cholesterol, keep their blood pressure under control. Diabetics die from heart disease. They don't die from diabetes. And then obesity is a significant risk factor. Postmenopause, that's a risk factor. When your estrogen levels drop, your risk goes up as well.
Oh, I was going to ask you, which is kind of related to what you said, what about age in the sense that when you think the public or like the general non-medical public thinks the older you are, the more likely you are to have a heart attack? But I don't know if that's true, and I don't know what the age factor would be.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, as you get older, the risk goes up, probably because you're exposed. I mean, some of it's just the genetics, but also if you have those risk factors and you're exposing your body to them longer and they're not being treated, they're going to continue to get worse. Let's say if your cholesterol is high and it's not treated, or you're not following a diet, you're not exercising, you're just exposing your body to those high levels, the plaque's building up more and more, and then it suddenly ruptures. So it's probably, you know, you have a longer time with the exposure to it, is the case with the different risk factors that we have. And again, your arteries, I mean, they build up over time with disease.
So it's just common sense that, it, you know, the older you get, the more susceptible you might be.
Exactly. But also, if you keep control, you exercise. I mean, exercise is huge. If you have a thin person who doesn't exercise and an obese person who's exercising, the thin person is more likely to have a heart attack than the obese person. So exercise is huge. So you really, it's really exercise, diet, following up with your doctor and making sure that your risk factors are treated. Keep your blood pressure under control. Make sure you're getting blood tests and make sure you know if you have diabetes. I mean, I've had patients who haven't seen a doctor in 40 years. They go to the hospital and now they've had diabetes all these years. They didn't know it. They didn't know their blood pressure was high. And now their heart, it's barely, you know, pumping because they've had so much damage to it.
You know, I think the exercise and diet pieces of this conversation are super important. We actually, in our next program, are going to be talking to a nutritionist, and that is one of the things that's probably going to come up about, you know, how important the proper diet and nutrition is. But when they keep changing, the experts keep changing, I think, you know, the requirements or what they're saying, what's good for you and what isn't. And it's very hard for people to keep up. However, one thing we know is that diet that people had in the olden days, that our parents had, for example, was very contained a lot of things that no-nos, a lot of cholesterol,
right,
a lot of fat, a lot of, I can't think of what particularly.
Right.
But they say that because we, this generation and the future generations after that, were more alert and more aware, that they are less likely to have heart disease because they're eating better.
But there's also the issue of childhood obesity and the more obesity. So we are seeing heart disease and we're seeing type 2 diabetes in children now. So that's going to be, these people are going to live a shorter period of time unless we tackle the childhood obesity.
And do you see, is there a ethnic background, like just are certain ethnic groups more susceptible to have heart attacks? Because, I mean, I know they are for diabetes, for example, and for certain diseases.
Right. I mean, you see it, like you might see more high blood pressure in Afro-American people, but, you know, it's really looking at your whole family history as well and your lifestyle.
I've had people say to me, my father died at 65 of a heart attack, and I'm from the time, and they're 70, let's say, and from every minute from 65 every year, they're like saying, you know, they're cautious or they're worried about it.
Exactly. I have patients who came to me because of their family history, and I've been following them for years, and it's a very stressful time when they reach that age, and that, you know, they're so afraid something's going to happen. But you know, again, they're seeing me as a cardiologist, so we're controlling all their risk factors. And, you know, they tend to be that they're listening to me, they're exercising, we're keeping their cholesterol down. So all those things can prevent an event from happening.
Because fortunately, all the people that I know that I was using for an example to you have outlived their
yes,
fathers, and it usually was the instance of their fathers saying, you know, my father
right,
died at 65 and I'm 70. So it is not unique for people to be worried about that.
Not at all.
No.
And I see it very often.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And we are talking today about heart disease, heart attacks, health. And in the studio with us is Dr. Joanne Cobbler, who is a cardiologist with the Buffalo Medical Group. And of course, I'm assuming everyone knows what a cardiologist is. Maybe I shouldn't, but hello? Does everyone know? Okay, raise your hand if you don't know. But Dr. Cobbler will tell us.
I take care of patients with diseases of their vascular system. I would take care of any problems with the heart, buildup of cholesterol in the arteries of the heart, structural problems with the heart. It could be congenital heart disease. It could be problems with the heart valves. It could be irregular heart rhythms. People could have palpitations, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. So I take care of a lot of things. And, you know, when people come to me with their symptoms, maybe it's shortness of breath or palpitations, I check their structure of the heart. I make sure there's no blockages. I make sure their blood pressure is controlled and their cholesterol is controlled, and try to figure things out.
Yeah, you know, are you in charge of, like, on Valentine's Day when who's has a, like, problem with their heart? Or is that love problem, not a medical problem?
I take care of both. If their heart's broken, I talk to them, too.
That's what I was thinking, your heart's broken. I was also thinking of something else that I guess we did mention this before, but there are things that mimic. There are symptoms that mimic heart attacks that are not. And I just had, I was coming to the studio today, a friend of mine said to me, my husband thought he was having a heart attack. I had to go to the emergency room this weekend, but it was stress, anxiety.
Sometimes people with a heart attack can have like indigestion, or they have pain near the, we call it the epigastric area, right? Near the stomach there. And they could be sweaty with that. And those could be symptoms of a heart attack. It also could be severe indigestion, or sometimes you get a severe pain in your chest, which is actually a spasm of your esophagus. And if you drink water, the spasm relaxes and then it goes away. So those can be very similar to a heart attack. So when people have those symptoms, it's best that you go to the emergency room. And we don't know. We basically will watch you. We'll draw a blood test and make sure you're not having a heart attack, and we'll sort it out. But it's something where it's better to be taken care of, to the emergency room. Exactly.
Yeah. It's better to be safe than sorry, or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like my day for cliches. There's not one I've left out, but I'll get to it. So that leads me to a really important part of our discussion, which is how science has progressed and innovative treatments have become so prevalent that probably, I think, less people are dying of heart, either suffering from heart attacks or having heart disease, because science has made so many improvements.
There's been a revolution over the past 30 years when I've been in practice. When I started out as a fellow, there weren't stents, there weren't things to open up arteries. We were just starting to do that. And when I would be called with a patient with a heart attack, it would be a very large heart attack. They would go into heart failure. Their muscle was gone from their heart. We'd have to go in the middle of the night and try to save them. Now, when someone comes in with chest pain, we know that if we go in there right away with a stent, put it in, open up the artery, then you don't get the death of the cells from the heart. You don't have that big scar where you'd have before, because we had nothing else to do for them before. So people are not having congestive heart failure after a heart attack as much anymore. We also, the statins came into play. I remember when I was pregnant with my son Michael, that was 25 years ago. When I came back, all of my patients were on this new drug, Lipitor, and I was gone for several months out, and it's just revolutionized cardiology care, because now we reverse disease and we prevent people from having heart attacks. We don't see it as much.
And as far as there's stents and there's open heart surgery,
yes,
which used to be the only thing that could be done, and now there's less, all of these other, also less invasive treatments.
Yes, a lot of times they don't have to open up your chest. If they need to do open heart, they can do a very limited, they can just see the artery. I mean, the stents have just, the technology has improved so much. We used to have problems with them closing off in the first 3 to 6 months. Now they have stents that elute a drug to prevent them from closing off. It's just been amazing. And the teams we have in place now in the hospitals, when someone, you know, is coming in, they have a whole protocol. If you're having chest pain, you need an EKG in the emergency room within 10 minutes. They need to be looking at it. And the whole, everything they call the team, if it's a heart attack, it's just amazing that we get the patients right in and have a whole team assembled, can put the stent in and prevent damage to the heart.
And time, I'm not guessing, but I think time is of the essence as far as treatment goes.
Absolutely. We aim for them walking in the door to having a balloon in the artery of 90 minutes.
And it matters.
It matters a huge amount. And if a patient, what's really sad is when someone doesn't come in right away. When they're at home and then they come in and they've already had a lot of damage to their heart, there's nothing we can do. So it's really important that if you start having chest discomfort, you call 911, you get to the hospital right away, don't ignore it.
And as far as everything to do with a heart attack or treatment or symptoms, when you go, you just said, to the emergency room, they and you tell them, the whoever is the intake person, that
right.
you are having anything that you think a person is that you're with or you yourself are having a heart attack, they know to they take you above and beyond
exactly.
when they can. Any other patient that's waiting for treatment,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, there's a whole protocol. You're supposed to. American Heart Association has developed a whole protocol for that.
Now, you mentioned this before. What about all of these Lipitor and there's so many of these drugs, and they actually advertise these drugs, you know, as if you would see on television and you would go or in the media and go to your doctor and say, doctor, could I have, there's others besides.
I know, I've had patients ask me different things. I thought, no, that's not indicated.
Yeah, I was going to say, so there, along the improvements that with the treatment as far as stents and operations and less invasive operations, but they also have come up with a lot of new medical ways to treat medically.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I said, the most important thing would be the two medications. It really is a statin. At a high dose, we know
oh,
we
that,
can...
That's yeah. the real...
Lipitor
that's
or
the
Crestor.
Medical name for... Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be Lipitor or Crestor. Those are called statin medications. And rosuvastatin or atorvastatin. Those are the two main ones we use that can... And we get reversal of disease by, you know, getting... It's like immediately you want to start them on it. If your cholesterol is high and you have risk factors, obviously if you are you put someone on it and you keep that LDL below 70, you're going to prevent them from having a heart attack.
And you hear about now people have, sadly to say, even more than one heart attack or instance, and they're, you know, and they're alive and surviving and recovering and fine.
Absolutely. In the past, you could be dead after one because we had nothing to offer. Now we have all these amazing treatments and the technology where we can, and we have the teams assembled. We know how important it is.
Well, I think, I hope we've taught our listeners, I know we've taught me, myself, a lot of things that I didn't know about heart and heart disease. And also, there's a very, the American Heart Association, which you mentioned, having been the past president, has numbers and places and that
and
people
their website,
can,
and the, I mean, that they have all kinds of information for you.
So if anybody wants to know anything that we didn't tell them, Dr.
Right,
Cobbler, but
the American
you
Heart
are
Association.
So thorough
yes.
that we probably covered everything. So thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Please join us again next week on Target. Same time, same station. Have a good week and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.